successful leaders build other leaders. Developing other leaders and evidencing their success to the world, I think, will have a much better impact on people that you want to work with you and for you. Hey, everybody, it is Brian Eisenhower. Welcome to the show today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about real estate leadership today and how we behave as leaders in real estate. When I'm talking about leaders in real estate, I really guess we could be talking about everybody, because typically, you know, the agent is the leader of their own sole proprietorship. I mean, they're filing their own tax returns because they're running their own business. And then you move out to real estate team leaders and they run their team and they have people that answer to them. And then you move up to, you know, brokerage owners and even owners of national brands that we work with and people like that. They also are leaders of large groups of people as well, too. So real estate leadership is kind of a unique animal out there, just because, you know, most industries, it's really clear when you're the leader, everybody works for you and you can fire them, literally. And in real estate, it's not quite that clear cut. You can't quite fire somebody, or they'll just walk across the street and work for your competitor, and they'll gladly take them. Since they're all just independent contractors, it makes it much cleaner and easier. So typically, the leaders in real estate are trying to woo more people to work with them and for them, as opposed to the typical employer-employee relationship that exists in other industries. So that kind of creates a little weird quagmire in the leadership. Eisenhower Coaching's Custom Training Suite is your company's own custom branded training website loaded with Eisenhower Coaching's powerful training courses for real estate agents, teams, and brokerages. With video lessons, audio lessons, downloadable course workbooks, scripts, tools, and systems, with quizzes and action steps for accountability and implementation, managers can also monitor agent performance with detailed reporting. Agents can earn certificates and degree designations abbreviated after their name in signature lines, online profiles, and marketing. Easily create your own customized courses for local topics like file compliance, MLS systems, contracts and disclosures, CRM training, and new agent orientation. Use ICC's course training materials in your own office training rooms with our downloadable and printable student workbooks, instructor's manuals, instructional training videos for each class lesson. The Custom Training Suite is your own custom branded training system that is changing the game for real estate, teams, and companies everywhere. Oftentimes, I see out there in the real estate industry, especially when things get slow in real estate, boy, you see this a lot. And slow can happen with seasonality each year, like in the winter, sales might slow down in your area. Could happen when interest rates go up. It could happen when housing inventory is low. It can happen during pandemics or great recessions or all those different fun things that get out there. And so we have this tendency as leaders to get back in and hustle like mad and kind of quote unquote get back to the basics and start doing a bunch of lead generation ourselves or handling a bunch of sales ourselves to get those profit margins up and things like that. And that's not bad. I mean, that's, you know, it's better than pure apathy when you don't do anything or you don't, you know, respond to circumstances in any way, shape, or form. However, there is something else we should be doing, and that's actually being more of a leader and increasing our leadership responsibilities as opposed to going back into the trenches 100% ourselves. There's additional things we can do as a leader, and I think when we get real busy and successful, all of a sudden it's very easy to think like a leader because we have money coming in and our time is now extremely strained. Maybe that's the summer months. Maybe that's during hot markets. Who knows whenever that happens for you. And all of a sudden we're in this place where, wow, you know, we got lots of money. So we're very comfortable with giving jobs away and not being in the trenches ourselves, maybe giving our buyers away to buyers agents or giving our listings away to our agents and things like that. But then all of a sudden, those slow times come and we roll up our sleeves and get back in the trenches. So we get on this roller coaster of leadership that's very, very exhausting. And most businesses and leadership positions aren't like that. You want to build something that endures and lasts and is steady and stable, that's not so tumultuous and stressful. Because if you ride that roller coaster of up and down too many times, pretty soon you're just going to say this isn't for me, and you're just going to go back to just selling, 15 houses a year yourself, and maybe flipping a house or two or something like that. And that's what usually happens. You see it out there all the time. Is people tried to build a team or tried to build a brokerage, and then they got tired of all the headaches, the up and down, and they just say, I'm just going to do something simple that's more peaceful for me. And that's not, again, that's not bad, but that's someone who's given up on that dream of creating that, that large organization that gave them passive income that didn't require them to work so much. Because at some point, most people had that dream, especially when they open up a brokerage, they're hoping they don't have to sell so much. And a lot of the income comes passively from the people that are working in their brokerage. And that dream, much more often than not, gets shattered. It is very few broker owners that discontinued selling themselves. And then they start to say things, well, like, I enjoy it, that's why, or, I need to stay in touch with the market, or things like that. And they go back to selling. And they make up a lot of these different reasons that get in the way of their results. So they make all these reasons to justify this behavior. But what they're really doing is giving up on leadership, or at least for the time being. But if they ride that up and down too many times, they'll give up altogether and they'll change their entire business model. So that's a very important thing to remember. You see a lot of people out there hustling, hustling, and hustling. And you hear about it, man, I am hustling, I'm lead generating, or I'm out there recruiting. And they want that type of leadership, or that type of leadership coaching from coaching companies, which, of course, we run one of the largest real estate coaching companies in North America, and we coach many of the highest performing brokerage owners and team leaders out there. And when we coach recruiting and how to increase productivity in your offices and your teams and things, and that's all great. But it can't be in lieu of leadership coaching, okay? And that's the hardest part, man, is getting out there and learning to develop other leaders, to get other people to lead for you, to remove yourself as a leader, to stop building an entire organization where you just idolize yourself. It's all about you, where you're the big name out there and we're promoting you and it's all designed around you, where you're out there telling people, hey, look at how I hustle. Look at how hard I work. Look at me. You should be doing what I'm doing. Successful people, talented people aren't as impressed by that as you think. They don't like to see successful leaders hustling. They'd actually like to get to a place where they can relax and get passive income. So start thinking that way before you talk about your work ethic too much. You can actually turn people off a little bit there. Because people are in different seasons of life and they go through different things at different times. And so it's just talking about how hard you work all the time, or how everybody needs to work so hard, not going to be attractive to everyone all the time. And you see that a lot out there. It can stress you out. If you're on social media, you see other perceived leaders out there saying that all the time, work, get the grind. Got to get up at 3 a.m. You got to stay up to this late. You got to work this much time. Work hard, play hard. And, and all that stuff's fine. And it has a place. I'm not saying it's wrong. But there are other ways to skin the cat, and stability has its benefits too. So I think one of the ways we do that is avoid building a shrine to yourself where everything is as you say it and everything, and I've done that too. It's been a while, but I've done that. And start, putting that emphasis in developing your other people. I mean, successful leaders build other leaders. Developing other leaders and evidencing their success to the world, I think, will have a much better impact on people that you want to work with you and for you. Proving their successes and how they've succeeded within your organization is extremely powerful too. And I think we get at peace with that when our entire business model is around that, whether we get out of that hustler mode, that salesperson mode, and start to think about how many strong leaders we're putting on our team that can also lead for you. And I think this is explained the best in one of my favorite books on the planet. It's called The Cash Flow Quadrant by Kiyosaki. And, you know, it's the second most popular book. He wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a great book too, but not nearly as powerful in my opinion, especially for leadership, as The Cash Flow Quadrant. And understanding how the cash flow quadrant works is pretty essential to me. And it basically, it's a square, okay? It's a square quadrant, for those of you know that know your geometry. It is a square quadrant. And that square quadrant is broken down into four sections. And those four sections, I'll go over them in order, one through four, of achievement. And they're basically four different ways that you can produce income. And we'll say just in real estate, in real estate. And the first way, the first quadrant of the cash flow quadrant, is the employee quadrant. We'll call it quadrant number one. It means you have a job, okay? And you work for somebody else, which means you have very little control. You know, you could be quit, you could be fired, they can lay you off, they can remove your position. But regardless of all that lack of control, the amount of active work you do is what determines the amount of active income that you get. Unless you get promotions and raises, then that goes up a little bit maybe, but you have to work a certain amount to get a certain amount of income. And that's no fun. And then we move down below that if you're watching this on video, you can see this. If not, you don't need to, I can explain it to you, or you can buy the book by Kiyosaki. It's a great one. Then he moves into quadrant two down below it, which is the self-employed quadrant, okay? And now you've got a lot of control here, right? Because you're self-employed. This is every real estate agent out there. So if you're a solo real estate agent, and even to you know, if you're still selling real estate anyway, you've still at least got one foot in this quadrant, okay? If you're still out there in production, if you're even running your real estate team meetings, you still have a job. You still have a role. So you've got maybe a toe in here still if you're just running your team meetings, you know, and you've got someone else running the day-to-day of the team. But the S quadrant means you're self-employed. You own your own job because you have a job. So you still have a job. You got a J-O-B because you are self-employed. And you still requires you to own it. You have no leverage at all if you're totally in this quadrant, right? You have to do your work. If you do less work and the amount of active work drops, the amount of active income you're going to get from it is going to drop right along with it. And that's very scary. You know, what if you go into a coma? What if someone needs you? What if you want to go on vacation? You know, what if, you know, anything could happen there. And you're gone. I mean, even if you're worried about your customer service for not giving, you know, jobs away to other people and hiring people, I mean, what happens if you're not available? That's pretty bad customer service too. So you have to almost shut down to go on vacations or work through them, which, you know, is that really living your life? So you're very much self-employed and you very much own your own job still. I think it's better than being an employee. It's definitely a step up from being an employee, because now you have control over how much you work and flexibility and all those wonderful things. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the end of the path for you. It's certainly not leadership in any way, shape, or form in this level until we move into the next quadrant. And the next quadrant, Kiyosaki explains, is the B quadrant. And we call it the B quadrant because you are a business owner. And this is in the upper right-hand corner of his bifurcated square. And basically now you own a system that works for you. And I'm proud to say I own some businesses that require none of my effort, that I actually own a system. And we've leveraged people to do the work for us at this time. People work with you or even for you. And if they work with you, which means you're still working in your business too, maybe your real estate team, you're still working it, or you own a real estate brokerage and you're still selling yourself, you've got one foot still in the S quadrant, okay? Because you do have a job in there. You still have a role, and without you, maybe it doesn't run quite as well. And that makes a little bit tougher. And here is why. People say I own a business, and yeah, I'm a business owner. I own a business, and it runs itself. And I see this all the time with real estate brokerages, right? They'll say, okay, so I got this great brokerage, and it's smart to have a brokerage. And be like, are you sure? Because would the brokerage even pay for itself if you stop selling? So let's take all the income that you brought in, all the leads that you generated and gave to your other agents, all of the developments that they sit for you, or all the business that you procured and that you still handle. And if we removed yourself, is there enough income that the agents are bringing to the business to pay all of the business's expenses? And boy, very rarely is that true. It takes a lot of agents, typically, or a lot of really high-performing agents to get up there. And that's why oftentimes the broker owner still has to sell, is because there's not enough income from the sales of the other agents, certainly from leads that they brought in themselves, to justify it. So at the very least, the broker owner has to continue to generate leads to provide them, because they can't bring them in themselves. So very rarely does a brokerage pay for itself. And that's why you'll see a lot of brokerages, decide to, broker owners say, hey, I'm not going to grow my brokerages. I'm just going to focus on my team, or I'm going to even take my business to another brokerage or something to cut my costs, or who knows, things like that. Because we're not purely in that quadrant. We still have feet over in the S quadrant, right? And that's what makes it a little bit tricky. And then I'd be remiss if I don't move on and kind of explain the final quadrant. And the final quadrant is the I quadrant, and that's the investor quadrant. That's the investor quadrant. And let me make sure I show the correct one here. The investor quadrant moves into the I quadrant, and that's where you actually, rather than own people, you don't just own a system. You actually, your money that you have earned from the B quadrant, the passive income, you're spending more time seeking out investments. Maybe you're investing in a real estate investment trust, maybe the stock market, maybe you're buying real estate yourself. And now your real estate is just making you income. You're getting passive income from investing. Maybe you buy into other businesses that other people own, and start making residual income from that. So the income now does not depend on active work at all, even of somebody else. You're an investor and they owe you money. It's almost like, you could be loaning them money and they have to pay you regardless. You're like a monthly payment, your expense. Your money starts to work for you. So the money you're earning from being a business owner moves that way. And if you get into that B quadrant and you start to earn more money in that B quadrant, you can then compound that income by then investing and putting that money to work for you in other investments that earn you more income. Think of like dividends in a stock. It's not just putting money and parking it and hoping to sell it for more later. It's actually generating active income for you regularly that you receive, and then you can invest into more money over time. And that's how it keeps compounding upon itself, one over another. And that's the ultimate stop on the cash flow quadrant. That ultimate stop is getting into that I box, where you start to, put your money to work for you, where it's not just your systems or your people leverage. And that's kind of the goal. I'm now at a stage now where I'm not operating much. I'm not in the self-employed. I don't hold roles in my companies anymore. Maybe in the consulting company, I do still do some speaking and things like that. And that frees you up, because when you have businesses that provide you income, then you can spend more time working on good investments and looking for good investments and negotiating with good investments and handling good investments and things like that. Because that takes a lot of time to do well. And if you're still self-employed, trying to skip right over into the investment box, that's very hard to do, because it takes so much time. So you see a lot of guys try to do it with flipping houses and buying rentals and stuff, and you see that their sales suffer, and they start to really hate the sales. So it's like a downward spiral. They just get pulled too many different ways, and they're just too stressed out. and they get too frustrated and they start to hate the sales, but then there's not enough money to pay the bills and they regret that they can't buy more investments. And it's really, if they had just stayed on that course to building, to becoming a business owner, a true business owner, where they even the parts of the job that they love, that they enjoy, they make that sacrifice and replace themselves and replace those roles by building a business that scales, that doesn't require so much of their own quote unquote hustle and rolling up their sleeves, they start to learn that they didn't really sacrifice much at all, that they actually much more enjoy these new investments. And they start looking for investments that aren't so dependent on their time and not so dependent on them, that they can just put their money to work for them. And then they get more free time to do things they want to do. And a lot of people can't imagine that life, but it is there. The key is just not to give up on those goals. And the way you do that is you come from abundance with your business and start developing other leaders that can hold leadership positions and start taking pride in your own leadership by not always having to go back into your business, but instead trying to build a business that doesn't require you to go back into it. And quite frankly, you do that by increasing the size of it. You know, larger teams, larger brokerages, are more insulated from failure and more insulated, you know, at protecting your time that way. So it's less likely if you have a real estate team of three people and you lose one or two, or one or two, you know, is going through a divorce or gets pregnant or something like that, and they can't produce for you for a while, then, you know, all of a sudden, to keep things afloat, you have to jump back in or at least start taking on their roles or do a lot more for them. But if you have a team of, you know, 40 agents and you have a few do that, the likelihood of you needing to get in or even feeling a bump in the road from when those types of things happen, and they're going to happen, you're not going to need to alter your entire career trajectory because of it. So you do insulate yourself with growth. And yes, there are headaches along the way, but to me, they're much better than the headaches you're going to get from being stuck and trapped inside your own little, jail cell, in the S quadrant, where you're self-employed and you own your own job. That gets very, very tough. So be very careful building a shrine to yourself and building a business that requires you, to maintain all of your relationships and all of your clients and, you know, all of that. Really think scalability and be open to it, because you see it in all the other businesses. You see it within the real estate industry. You have tons of clients that have been successful for it. So that's why you need to set out to be a leader from the start and have your goals set on that B quadrant and that I quadrant. We want to move all of our income over to those two quadrants as quickly as possible. So build a business model that sustains it, so you don't keep up with that real estate roller coaster that goes up and down with all the volatility of you going to work, getting back out of work and going to work. Build a stable of leaders, not just one. You need to have multiple leaders, because leaders go through different times where they're in and out of it and they're motivated or not. So you need to have a very deep bench here. You need to have a very filled out roster. The more leaders you can put out there and get in your organization, the better off you will be. That is for sure. So I hope this helps with your real estate leadership. For those of you out there that are real estate coaches and leadership coaches, I think I would lean heavy on making my people read Kiyosaki's Cash Flow Quadrant, because it really, really helps people understand the importance of building a scalable business that we can leverage people out there and work with people. So, hope that helps. Thanks, guys. Can't wait to see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Brian Eisenhower podcast. You can learn more about ICC at eisenhowercoaching.com. That's eisenhower.com. You can also enroll in one of our many online courses at icconlinelearningcenter.com. That's icconlinelearningcenter.com, where you'll find the most expansive real estate training library in the industry. We also offer custom training portals for real estate teams and brokerages looking to give all of their agents access to our expansive course list of courses and training systems. Some companies even take it one step further by purchasing versions of our courses and systems that are white label branded to their specific real estate organizations. Also, be sure to subscribe to Eisenhower Coaching's YouTube channel to watch new video content that we put out each and every week. And again, be sure to join the fastest growing Facebook group for top performing real estate professionals by searching for the Real Estate Agent Roundtable Group. With all of that said, thank you again for joining us today, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Brian Eisenhower Podcast.